What's up, everyone? Welcome back to The Resistance with your host, DJ Revolution, on the one and only Penguin Radio, where we are crazy enough to believe that the world can actually change. So for our first segment, I just want to talk about my favorite thing in the world, which is voting. I take such pride in voting, and voting is something that means so much to me for so many different reasons. So many people have died defending my right to vote as an Afro-Latina woman. So I definitely don't throw my voice away because there are too many people silenced right now for me to remain silent, honestly. And so I just want to talk about statistics right now, who has voted, how you can vote, and what's going on. So more than a third of registered voters have actually already cast their vote. And so 75 million Americans have already voted, and we only have 5 days until election day. Can you even believe that? I know I can't. I remember last year just thinking, wow, I can't wait till Trump is out of office, and we are so close. And so this is an unprecedented shift driven by the coronavirus pandemic and an interest in the presidential race. I know I haven't been alive that long, but I know in past elections that I've been alive and aware for, voting hasn't, it's been stressed, but it hasn't been necessarily stressed as much as this time. Even in 2016, I was a freshman in high school, and I remember a lot of people were voting, but it wasn't like every single place you go, it's like vote, 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 vote. And so that's how it is right now. And I feel like that's so awesome because we have the highest voter turnout, an unprecedented voter turnout, which is so amazing. And so according to a survey of election officials in 50 states in Washington, 36% of registered voters have already cast ballots ahead of November 3rd, which is so awesome. And so the top three states with the highest percentage of registered voters who have already cast their ballots are Montana, Washington State, Colorado, and Oregon. And these states also all have extensive mail-in balloting this year. And shout out to Colorado, that's where I live, and I'm part of that 36%. I have proudly already cast my vote for who I think is best fit. So now it's you guys' turn. And so Montana leads all states with about 56% of registered voters already having cast their ballots. And so the state is allowing countries to conduct their elections entirely by mail if they choose, which is so awesome, especially in a global pandemic. I'm hearing that a lot of people want to have their voice heard, but at the same time, they don't want to endanger themselves and the people they come into contact with, which is so understandable as we are in the midst of a global pandemic, if you haven't heard. And so I think that's so amazing that Montana is taking these measures. And it's actually pretty surprising that Montana is leading right now with about 56%. And so Washington follows, which I could see this one, but Montana did shock me. So Washington follows, where about 53% of registered voters have already cast ballots, already returned, and Colorado and Oregon are just behind at 52% each, which is still a huge voter turnout, especially before an election. And so I'm proud to call Colorado my state. And so in an additional 14 states, at least 40% of registered voters have also cast ballots. And so this is so awesome. And Texas being one of them. And if you haven't heard, Texas is officially a state that we don't know if it's going to be red or blue yet, which is so amazing because we know in the past Texas has notoriously always been a red state. And so some states may have different rules for determining which voters are eligible to cast ballots for the general election, and many states also allow same-day registration on election day. And I know the state I live in, Colorado, you're actually allowed to register to vote on the same day that you vote. So you could register to vote on November 3rd and cast your vote on November 3rd. I wouldn't recommend it because that is cutting it very, very close. But, I mean, if you're one of those people who are in between, I don't know if I want to vote, then I guess that's awesome that you still have that choice on the day of. And so it's not really clear how much of the record-breaking early vote comes from people who would have voted on election day and how much represents additional turnout this year. And I'm sure those statistics will come later as well. But the 75.8 million ballots cast so far in the 2020 election also represents about 56% of the more than 136.5 million total ballots cast for president in 2016. So already more than half of the people that voted in 2016 have turned out to vote early in 2020, which is so amazing. And I'm not saying that this pandemic was a good thing in any sense, but I am saying that's amazing that it has almost caused voter turnout. And I think this voter turnout is not only just because it's easier, and it's not even easier, it's just more broadcasted, and it's more it's just more broadcasted and known that you can vote early. I think in the past, it's just there's been this social stigma that you have to vote on November 3rd. I know a lot of people were confused when I was in high school, and a lot of people just said, you have to show up to the polls on November 3rd. And I think we're finally learning that, no, early voting is an option, and it's actually a great option, and especially in the midst of a global pandemic. So I think between social media broadcasting early voting and between the fact that we're in a global pandemic and it's much more safe to vote early than it is to vote on November 3rd, I think that's a huge part of the reason why there are early votes right now. And so I'm really thankful that people are turning out. And I think a lot of the voter turnout comes from social media as well. As a person, a young person who's still in their teenage years who uses social media every single day, I can say that positively that voting is one of the main contents you'll see on Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat. And even Snapchat has a practice ballot that you can practice and fill out. And all of these social media platforms are pushing the vote, especially pushing young people to vote, because in the past, young people have notoriously not shown up to vote. And I think this year, when everything is said and done, there will be an unprecedented amount of young people voting, which I think is amazing, because the young people of this country are the future, and we're really deciding our future. A lot of the older generation is going to be gone in the next couple of, not the next couple of years, but in the near future. And this next president we're choosing is going to affect the things that will affect us primarily. There are things in this next presidency that will be everlasting. And I often use the phrase that this could possibly be the last important election in terms of climate change and other issues. And so I find it so important for young people around my age and older to just turn out and vote, because everything we vote for ultimately affects us the most. And so I know I've been doing my part and just posting on my social media almost every single day to just go out and vote. And if you have questions about voting, ask me. And that goes the same to all my listeners out there. If you have a question about voting, ask someone you know that has voted. Or if you have questions about the propositions, it's okay to be confused. Just ask questions and just collaborate with people and see what they think. And, you know, you might expand your knowledge on some things. It's just so important to vote. And for me, I take pride in voting the entire ballot, and I take pride in knowing what I'm voting for. So I just encourage everyone to go out and vote, use your voice, use the right you have been given, because so many people are silenced. Thank you for tuning in to The Resistance with your host, DJ Revolution, on the one and only Penguin Radio. I will be right back on our next segment.
The following PSA is brought to you by the DJs at Penguin Radio.
Voting is an essential part of our democracy, and democracy requires participation. And if I don't vote, someone else will, and I definitely do not want someone else deciding on laws that will affect me, my family, and my community. Voting is our civic duty, and civic duty is the rent we pay for living. So I hope everyone joins me in voting in every single election. For more resources on how to vote, visit www.eac.gov. This PSA has been brought to you by the DJs at Penguin Radio and the Communications and Media Studies Department at the Dominican University of California. Hey everyone, welcome back to The Resistance with your host, DJ Revolution, on the one and only Penguin Radio, where we are crazy enough to believe that the world can actually change. So let's talk about polls. And I posted something on Facebook today where I just stated, 5 days, my people, breathe, ignore the polls, focus on what you can do, and then do it. And so I feel like this is so important right now because I think a lot of us, especially me, are feeling anxiety with the current election on top of being in a global pandemic. So just breathe, focus on what you can do, and then do it. And I think that may be voting, that may be getting a friend to vote, that may be just self-care. And so let's just talk about polls. I know I said ignore the polls, but let's talk about polls right now for a second. So Biden continues to hold nationwide advantage in final days of 2020 race. And so this is really interesting because I was reading something on Instagram today where it said Biden is holding on to the advantage right now that in 2016, Hillary Clinton was losing the advantage right now in 2016. So I find that a bit comforting coming from the perspective of a Biden-Harris supporter. And so I'm really curious and excited and nervous and anxious to find out the results of this election. And as I've mentioned before in several other episodes, we are definitely not going to know who is the president on November 3rd. We're not going to know. Because of the unprecedented circumstances we are faced with, we are in the midst of a global pandemic. There are so many mail-in ballots, more than ever before. And so these mail-in ballots are going to affect the democracy that we are used to. And so I think it's important to remember that democracy takes time. And so a lot of states have different laws. Some states say we can start counting ballots on November 3rd. Some states say we have to wait until it's finished. And then some states are allowing mail-in ballots to be counted as long as they're postdated for November 3rd and they arrive, I believe, on November 9th or 10th. They are still counting them, but they have to be postdated for November 3rd. They just can't be arrive on November 9th and still get counted if they're not postdated. And so because of that, we're definitely not going to know the answer that I know we all want to know, and we all want to get this presidential election over with. But I think that's important to remember that. So let's just jump into polls. So with the race for presidency approaching its end amid a raging pandemic, Democratic nominee Joe Biden has maintained a substantial lead over President Donald Trump nationwide. And I think this lead deals with Trump losing a lot of traditionally Republican voters just because of the national race reconciliation right now, and because of the global pandemic that's going on and his response, and some would call it poor, I would. But Among likely voters, 54% back Biden and 42% back Trump. And personally, I live in a very mixed area. So on one corner of the street, there's a bunch of people holding Trump flags. And on the other corner of the street, there's a bunch of people holding Biden flags. And so it's really confusing for me to see the majority where I live. And it's very mixed, and it's becoming very controversial. And so, although the election will ultimately be decided by the statewide results, which drive the Electoral College, Biden's lead nationally is wider than any presidential candidate has held in more than two decades in the final days of the campaign. And so, this also does give me relief again as a Biden-Harris supporter, since he has such a large lead that is unprecedented. Again, everything about 2020 is unprecedented, but I'm still nervous. I'm still anxious because Hillary Clinton had a large lead as well, although she was losing grasp of her lead at this point. But she also still had a lead, and we all know she lost the presidency in 2016, so I'm still nervous because you never know what's going to happen. And another point I want to bring up is that last-minute voters also saved Donald Trump. And I don't think those same last-minute voters are going to show up in 2020, seeing as to how we're in the middle of a global pandemic and early voting has been so broadcasted and so pushed. So I don't think he's going to get as many last minute voters as he did in 2016, which could be better because those voters are what ultimately saved him. And so there are major changes in the landscape in the final days of the race from any other presidential race, just because, as everyone probably knows, we're in this little thing called a global pandemic that is unfortunately messing with every single facet of our lives. And one of those facets is the American election. And so I know this decision, when it's finally announced who is the president, is going to be so controversial. And oh my gosh, Donald Trump was already saying the election was hacked in 2016 when he won. Imagine what he's going to say if he loses. He is not going to be happy. And so a lot of these numbers, so let me just give you some statistics. So women by far are voting for Biden, and same thing with minorities. So women of color, 77% are voting for Biden and 21% are voting for Trump. White women, 54% for Biden, 45% for Trump. I heard a song on TikTok the other day that I'll include right now. And so men of color, this is interesting, 64% for Biden, 28% for Trump. And then, of course, white men always gotta have their Trumpy. So they're voting for Trump 56% to 41% Biden, which is expectable because they only care about themselves. But those with college degrees actually favor Biden as well. And so those who favor Biden that have college degrees lead with 30 points, while those without degrees split evenly. And so among white voters, the difference is larger. And so white voters with college degrees favor Biden 58% to 40%, and those white voters who do not hold a four-year degree are pretty much a mirror image. And so they're breaking 58% for Trump to 40% for Biden. And so let's talk about seniors, who shifted in the Democrat direction in the 2018 election and are solidly in Biden's corner in this poll. So I think this is because of issues regarding Medicare, Social Security, and how Biden wants to fund those institutions differently than how Trump wants to. And so there's a large margin within seniors. And so 54% of voters 65 or older back Joe Biden, while 44% back Trump. And so Biden also leads by a broad margin among voters under 35, which includes me. And so 68% are voting for Biden, while 30% are for Trump. And that is a large margin. And so while voters between the ages of 35 and 64 are split about evenly between the two candidates, and so about 48% back each candidate with about a 5% margin of error. And so these polls are so interesting, and they're so interesting to view. And I, once again, just please go vote. Please let your voice be heard. Be part of the statistic that voted. Thank you so much for tuning in to The Resistance with your host, DJ Revolution, where we are crazy enough to believe the world can change on the one and only Penguin Radio.
The following PSA is brought to you by the DJs at Penguin Radio. Carbon emissions represent man's greatest controllable contribution to global warming. If you like to breathe crisp, healthful air, think about this. For every mile driven, 1 pound of carbon particulate matter is released into our atmosphere. Before you jump into your car, next time, ask yourself if you can make the trip on your bike instead. And keep it clean.
What's up, everyone, and welcome back to The Resistance with your host, DJ Revolution, where we are crazy enough to believe the world can change on the one and only Penguin Radio. So let's talk about why celebrities are wearing hot pink suits right now. I wouldn't mind wearing a hot pink suit. I just feel like that's not the best color on me. Pink doesn't really suit me, but because of the symbolism, I will be okay with wearing a hot pink suit. And pantsuits are my favorite thing to wear. Ever since Hillary Clinton made the pantsuit a feminist movement and she kind of made it iconic, I've loved wearing pantsuits, and I look for any reason to wear a pantsuit, and people always think I'm going to business meetings, but I just like wearing pantsuits. I just do. So there's a new political fashion statement in town, and so it's just in time for the election, and it's a hot pink suit that women are wearing, which I'm not totally opposed to. I just wish it was a different color, because number one, is pink really the most feminist color? We're trying to move away from these gender stereotypes in pink, but okay, whatever. And I just don't like pink on me, but I will go with the flow. And so around this time, 4 years ago, we all know we were in the 2016 election. I was a freshman in high school. And so a grassroots movement began on Facebook, and it urged women to go to the polls and wear white to vote. And so there was also Pantsuit Nation, which I was a part of. It's really embarrassing, but I dressed in all my favorite pantsuits in 2016, and I posted it on Instagram, and I asked people, what is your favorite pantsuit that I was wearing? And nobody commented on my post, which was embarrassing, but I was also already the nerd of high school, so didn't embarrass me too bad. So the Wear White to Vote, basically, in the Pantsuit Nation are really symbolic to female solidarity and also about the president changing candidacy of Hillary Clinton and the long line of feminists and suffragettes that stretched out behind her. And so even though we all know in 2016 Hillary Clinton sadly lost, which I'm still a little bummed about, it was right on cue for growing ballot lines. And another dress movement that is now happening, which has just emerged, and it's once again focused on women going to vote and getting dressed up to vote and wearing a specific uniform to vote, and it's really empowering women and really everyone. And so this is a movement that's happening on social media once again. And so the suit is the brainchild of Argent, which is a women's workwear label started in 2016 to promote gender equality in the workplace through clothes. And so, why? I know you're probably asking, I'm curious too, why are women wearing pink suits to vote? So, women are disadvantaged in meetings because they don't have inside pockets in their suits. And so the founder of, well, this was back in the day. Of course, now that's not a huge big deal. But the founder knew this and wondered the women's, and so he created a group, and which is called Supermajority. And that's a women's rights advocacy group. And the campaign was basically just trying to empower women and create equality within the workplace. And so this just emerged into equal workwear for women, and I think it's really awesome. And so the one of their most popular suits is a pink suit, and I guess it just really embraces female solidarity, and it kind of combines the pink, which is formerly a woman's color, I guess, and combines the suit, which is a man's, traditionally a man wears a suit, but they combine it with these two things, so it creates this kind of weird but amazing dichotomy. And so I really appreciate the complexity of the movement and what the pink suit really embraces. And so the suit has so far been adopted by many celebrities who have just posted a bunch of pictures in their pink suit. Again, I don't know if I'm going to do this. I already posted my pictures about voting on social media, but I just don't look pink, good in pink, guys. Pink is not a good color for me to wear. I like to stick to blacks, browns, grays. Pink, especially hot pink, maybe back in middle school, first years of high school, but I just don't think I could pull off pink anymore. So they're posting themselves voting in the pink suit with the hashtag Supermajority on Instagram. And so Amy Schumer, Kerry Washington, Zoe Saldana, and many more have posted pictures in this. And so I think this is just another awesome example of how social media and celebrities are pushing for voting. And so I think this is also, because social media is such a large scale platform, and so I think this is really helping the voter turnout, and it definitely does have an impact, especially within the voting age of 18 to 35. I think a lot of people are being urged and almost peer pressured to vote. And so that's really helping. And so Sophia Bush wore her suit while stumping for Biden-Harris, and Holland Taylor is such an amazing actress. Oh my gosh, I could go on forever. But she wore hers to vote, and Hillary Clinton started an initiative on her Instagram feed writing, "Love these power pantsuits and the powerful women wearing them." And so I really love this, and I was going to order this suit because I'm kind of falling into the peer pressure of this pink suit, but it's sadly on back order now, so maybe I could find a cheaper version and a knockoff version of this suit, because now I really want it, and maybe I will post a picture in it. But again, I just don't think pink is a good color on me. And so I understand the appeal of the suit, and emotions are just running so high, and hopes and fears are so real right now, and it seems a letdown and almost unpatriotic to go neutral when you cast your ballot. I know I definitely am not neutral, and I don't know many people who are neutral, just because this is an election where each side is almost so polarized. I would argue that maybe Biden isn't as polarized, but definitely a lot of the voters are polarized, and so it's just, I can't imagine there being a large undecided population right now just because of the polarization that's going on. And so the appeal is understandable of people who really want to show their support for who they're voting for, because this election is like no other. I feel as though when we're voting in this election, we're voting for the character of the nation. And in other past elections, the two candidates have been presidential, and I don't think that's the case in this 2020 election. And so, just like Trump supporters have their MAGA hats, I guess we Biden supporters have our pink suits that I sadly cannot get my hands on. And hopefully I can find somewhere I can order this pink suit from, because now I really want one. And so, though nominally the hot pink suit is nonpartisan, the history of President Trump's remarks about women, the party-drawn battle lines, over a woman's right to choose, and the fate of Roe v. Wade, and the fact that Kamala Harris has directly addressed the subject of female ambition and has worn Argent, the same company that's making these hot pink suits, suggests that the style may be seen as a rebuke to the status quo. And so I definitely think that you would have to be naive to think that this hot pink suit is nonpartisan. It's not. It's definitely not. And it's definitely, I know a lot of Biden-Harris fans are wearing this hot pink suit, and I have not seen one Trump supporter wearing a hot pink suit. All I see is them in their MAGA hats. So it's not nonpartisan. I think everyone knows it's not. And sometimes you just say it is, just to be more inclusive, which is nothing's wrong with that. But I really like this trend. I wish I could get my hands on an original Argent hot pink suit, because it seems like something cool to wear and something to just be like, look back in 20 years and be like, oh, I had that hot pink Argent suit in the 2020 election, you know? And so I wish I could get one, but I think it's an awesome trend. And so I'm glad that many celebrities are wearing it to the polls to just kind of get more people to vote. Thank you so much for tuning in to Welcome to the Resistance with your host, DJ Revolution, on the one and only Penguin Radio. I will be right back for our last segment.
The following PSA is brought to you by the DJs at Penguin Radio.
Voting is an essential part of our democracy, and democracy requires participation. And if I don't vote, someone else will. And I definitely do not want someone else deciding on laws that will affect me, my family, and my community. Voting is our civic duty, and civic duty is the rent we pay for living. So I hope everyone joins me in voting in every single election. For more resources on how to vote, visit www.eac.gov. This PSA has been brought to you by the DJs at Penguin Radio and the Communications and Media Studies Department at the Dominican University of California. Hey everyone, and welcome back to The Resistance with your host, DJ Revolution, on the one and only Penguin Radio, where we are crazy enough to believe that the world can actually change. So it would be extremely naive of me to just ignore COVID. It's a huge issue right now. If you didn't know, we're in this little thing called a global pandemic. And I know I have been talking about the election a lot just because the election is next week. And it's so crazy. But COVID's so crazy too. And it's one thing that affects the election. And it's a thing that affects every single component in our lives today. I would be lying if I said it didn't even affect my life. I'm currently living at home, not at college, and it's just affected my life in so many ways, from small things like wearing a mask to big things like staying in Colorado. And so the U.S. has surpassed 9 million virus cases. Wow. I remember when we were at 3 million and I was like, oh my gosh, this is insane. And now we're at 9 million and we're just growing. This number is exponentially growing. And I know that in Colorado, they opened up schools and now they're shutting them back down. And here's my thing. I am not against opening up schools. I'm not against opening up businesses. But what I am against is prioritizing money and the economy over people's lives. The economy is not more important than people's lives, and it's sad that this needs to be said, and I've said it time and time again, but it's almost as though many public officials could care less about people's lives, and the economy is the only thing that matters. And so I'm not against opening things back up. I just am against opening things back up too prematurely, and I think it was the wrong idea to open up schools again. I know schools in Colorado opened up to hybrid, and every single week there has been a cohort of students at each school that have had to quarantine. And I don't know about you, but I'm very careful. I've never had a quarantine. I've never been, well, I don't know for sure, but I know I've never been exposed to COVID-19 and I've never experienced COVID-19 symptoms. And that doesn't mean that I've never had it, because some people are asymptomatic, but I don't think I have. And I think that just speaks to me always wearing a mask and just being really safe. And so voters in several swing states are casting ballots as the coronavirus reaches new peaks in their communities. And so I'm scared that this could possibly cause an outbreak as well, with so many cases and just coronavirus on the rise. I know that one of my cousins actually just posted on Facebook that he has tested positive for COVID-19, and he is a nurse at a medical facility, and so he contracted COVID-19 from work. But it used to be kind of like, do you even know anybody who's gotten the virus? And now everyone knows someone that has contracted COVID-19. I haven't met one person recently that hasn't known someone. And I just think this speaks to things opening back up when they shouldn't have. We were never in a I was confused because I knew my state was opening back up, and I thought, I thought things progress once things get better, because the numbers never lowered or went down. They just continued to rise, but we just kept continuing to open things back up and almost pretending like life was normal. I wish life was normal, but it would be naive of me to just pretend and go out without a mask like life is normal. And so the U.S. recorded over 90,000 new infections on Thursday. And so this is the equivalent of one new case every single second, which this is just so embarrassing. There's no other place in the world. We are a developed nation, too. There's no other place in the world that has the infection rate that the U.S. does. And so I think that speaks to not only the leadership that we have, but it also speaks to the citizens of the U.S. And I think this comes from people just not wanting to follow guidelines. I get it. I miss my family. I miss my grandma and I miss my grandpa and I miss the elderly members of my community. But I'm not having social gatherings. I'm not seeing them a lot, just to ensure their safety. And sadly, I think COVID cases will go back up once we hit holiday season, Thanksgiving and Christmas. And so I think these numbers will exponentially rise once we get to the holiday season just because Americans are selfish. We are so selfish, and it's almost as though I before we, and we care more about our turkey and celebrating colonizers than we do about people's safety. And I think it's sad that this is the reality, but it is what it is, as our president says. And so in Europe, I know they're having a rise as well, but schools are staying open, and so this is just a reversal from spring and different from what they had. And then let's just talk about how COVID-19 is affecting our lives. I know it's affected my life in many more ways than one, but let's talk about how we can prevent the spread, stop the spread. So for me, I don't go out as frequently as I used to, and I only go to stores if I really need something. Other than that, I try to shop online just because it's the safer option. And I also don't eat in restaurants because restaurants are super spreaders, especially buffets. There were several buffets open in my area that are not open anymore because our governor said they weren't allowed to be open anymore. But those are also super spreaders as well. So I haven't went to a buffet or a restaurant ever since the coronavirus pandemic has hit. I also, if I do go to a school store, I make sure to mask up. I make sure to use social distancing properly, and I make sure to put hand sanitizer on as soon as I walk out of the store. I'm very serious about all the health precautions because I listen to scientists and people who know what they're talking about, and this is what they say, and so I do wholeheartedly trust them. And if things change, life is an ever-changing obstacle that I think we're always continuing to learn more from. And so once we learn more, I'll adapt. But as things stand, I know that these health professionals are saying wear a mask, be hygienic, use social distancing. So that's what I'll do. And I also haven't been to any gatherings. I've been invited to several parties, and I know there's several parties being thrown for Halloween, but I've stayed home the entire time to ensure my safety and my family's safety. One of my family members that I live with actually works at a hospital, so it's really important that I keep myself healthy so she stays healthy, so she doesn't infect the vulnerable people that she works with. And so I think it's just important ultimately to think about someone else than ourselves. I know as Americans that's a tough job, and I know I'm asking you for a lot, but just think about your grandma or your grandpa, or think about someone you really love and think about them getting COVID. And I think that's a sad thought. So just think about someone else for a change. I know I do, and COVID has definitely allowed me to become more empathetic and more understanding, and I think it's allowed a lot of people to become the same. And so even though I'm not saying these are the greatest circumstances, COVID-19 has definitely taught me a lot. But please mask up to ensure everybody's safety and take the correct health precautions. Thank you so much for tuning in to Welcome to the Resistance with your host, DJ Revolution. I really hope you enjoyed today's show on the one and only Penguin Radio. Please tune in next week.